You probably have noticed Yom HaShoah is not on Google's calendar. You may have noticed that it's not exactly commemorated in a lot of places in the world. Have you noticed that? Is it something that seems to you like this is like a mainstream thing or like not such a mainstream thing?
It's not, because a lot of people
deny. Right. So that's what I want to talk about. The reason I want to talk about it is, number one, it's important just to know what's going on in the Jewish world. But number two, perhaps more importantly, is that for some reason, it's become more acute during Sfiras HaOmer that there's like a machlokas about commemorating things. Have you noticed that? Yom HaTzmaut is during Sfiras HaOmer. Yom HaShoah is during Sfiras HaOmer. I think Yom Yerushalayim is even in Sfiras HaOmer. And Sfiras HaOmer is supposed to be the time of year where we really focus more than usual on Achdus. What am I talking about? Because the whole reason that everybody here looks so scruffy is because we're trying to remember that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died because they didn't give the proper kavod to one another. So that means that this time period, the Avelus, and you look around and everybody's in some form of, you know, music, all these things, you know? Everybody's observing some form of Avelus, and it's all supposed to be because of a failure in Achdus. And it's become the time of year when our lack of Achdus becomes even more acute. It's ironic, no? But maybe that's exactly the point. Maybe the point of all of these things happening B'dafka now is because that's really important. And when there's a challenge to it, is when it's the time to work on it. So let me just fill you guys in, because I don't want you to miss this. The basic gist of what I just said was Sfiras HaOmer, the Nihuge, there are a lot of components of Sfiras HaOmer. Yeah, there are a lot of different components. So the observance, the scruffy lookingness, yeah? The scruffy lookingness is not because of a mitzvah to count Sfira. It has nothing to do with Beis Avon Shavuos directly. Yeah? The scruffy lookingness is because of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that died in 33 days between Beis Avon Shavuos. That's why we're scruffy. Well, you guys are anyway. I'm always scruffy. So,
it's not important, right?
Of course. So, isn't that ironic that this time of year, when the focus is Achdus, because what was, or why did they die? Why did they die? So, because they didn't give kavod zelazet. Yeah? And in fact, do you remember how many there were?
24,000.
Right, but that's not the Lashon of Chazal. Did you know that? What's the Lashon of Chazal? Do you know? They don't say 24,000. They say?
12,000.
12,000 pairs. 12,000 chavruses. 12,000. Why would you say it like that? Just say 24,000. So what's the focus, obviously? What are they trying to say? They were supposed to be pairs. Yeah, and there was this lack of kavod that was separating them. That's the nuance in the number as well. So this time of year, the avelus that we express and hopefully feel a little bit is supposed to be about the failure in kavod zelazeh. Yeah? Failure in kavod zelazeh means that we don't agree about something, right? There's some tension. There's some tension. But within the tension is supposed to be a capacity to nonetheless express kavod. But that's the challenge, right? If everyone loves each other and agrees about everything, it's not a challenge to give a kavod zelazeh, right? It's when you're fighting with somebody, you don't agree about something, there's a tension there. But that's when the kavod zelazeh becomes an issue. So isn't it ironic that this is the time of year when there's so many things that come up within Klal Yisrael that we disagree about? So that's what I want to talk about today. Today is referred to in some circles as Yom HaShoah. So what do we agree about? What is their agreement about? What is their disagreement about? What are the issues over here? So the background to all of this that has to be said but should not have to be said is that obviously, however you're going to refer to it, there are basically three terms that you could use to refer to the Shoah. You could call it the Shoah, you could call it the Holocaust, But the truth is that in traditional halachic writings, do you know what it's referred to as? You know what it's called? It's called Churban Europa. Intentionally. Churban means, what's Churban? Destruction. Like a cherev is a sword. Yeah, a sword that devours, that destroys. Churban means destruction. So we talk about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. What do we call it? Churban HaBayis. Churban HaBayis. So this was referred to as Churban Europa. Is a modern Hebrew word. I don't know the etymology of Shoah. Do you know? Does anybody know? I'm not even familiar. It's a modern Hebrew word, Shoah. And Holocaust is an English word. So whatever you're going to call it, let's take a step back before we talk about the day itself or making a holiday, commemoration, whatever you want to call it. Everyone agrees that this was, there are no words. The greatest tragedy of our time. You know, there are no words to describe it because there are no words to describe the magnitude. Just whatever. When you start talking about it, you feel stupid. Nothing to say. Nothing to say. Greatest disaster we could ever imagine. So that goes without saying. It shouldn't have to be said. But in case anyone would ever wonder, oh, well, maybe there are those in Klal Yisrael that it wasn't of great significance. No, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. So, okay. The question then became, basically in 1949, the war is over. Baruch Hashem, things have settled down. There is a tremendous population growing in the land of Israel now. After 1948, there was even an independent state. So in 1949, the question became, should we, and how, and when? Those are the three things I want to talk about. Should we, how, and when, commemorate in one way or another, whatever you want to call it, the great Churban of Europe? Yeah? So everyone agreed, I believe, everyone agreed, yes. We can't allow this to be something that just, yeah, okay, you know, we've moved past that. Why not? For many different reasons. But I suppose most fundamentally is that's not how Jews roll. We can't forget the past, and the past has to inform the present, and the future has to inform the present. And we have to know what's happened in the world, what can happen in the world, how people sometimes view us, etc., etc. So for various different reasons, it was decided, I think unanimously, that there should be something done. But then the question became when and what. So if you look at the history books, it doesn't take long on Google to do this. You'll see that in 1949, there was a religious push from the religious world I'm talking about, not in a secular way, not in an Israeli government way, but there was a religious push to have something to commemorate the day. And on that year, 1949, it was Asara B'Teves. What's Asara B'Teves? A fast day, a public fast day, one of the four public fast days of remembering the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, namely for the siege against Yerushalayim, because that was considered to be the beginning of everything and therefore the end of everything. Because once a siege is possible, so that's the beginning of the end. The fact that on Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed, you probably know, Chazal say that when Titus came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was destroying destroyed bricks. Yeah, you heard this before? And Shemayim was destroyed. It was just a question of how that was going to come to fruition in the physical world. But in the world of Ruchnius, in the world of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has instructed things to happen, it was in ruins already. How is it going to come about? Okay, so this is how it came about. But the siege was the first inkling that we got that this was a sakana. This is bad news. There's a siege. How could there be a siege? So that's the beginning and the end. And by the way, the Asara B'Teves is the one that actually does come out on Friday. Yeah, you know this? It does occasionally fall out on Friday. We fast on Friday going into Shabbos. It's like unheard of. And even though it can't work out according to our calendar, there are poskim that say that technically we would even fast if it was on Shabbos. Only Asara B'Teves, by the way. This year Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. Yeah? It's just pushed off until Sunday. You never bring disasters earlier. You push them off. Yeah. So it's Tanis Esther, we move earlier. You know what I'm saying? Tanis Esther would be earlier. But this gets pushed up. Okay. So that year was Esar B'Teves. Why do you think that was? Why do you think they would see, here's where I turn the microphone to a little under sensitivity. Yeah. Why do you think the first year they chose Esar B'Teves? Mm-hmm. Explain with more words.
Oh, also because Sarah is a very horrible time.
Okay.
Also, to make it easier for people not to fast more than they have to.
So these are the three issues. Yeah? This is what I've been thinking a lot about. This is how I think about it. When should we commemorate it? Because what day are you going to pick? You got to pick a day. It's got to be based on something. Which day are you going to pick? What are you trying to commemorate? There are a few different things. Give me some. If you want to commemorate or perhaps celebrate, you know, it sounds a little funny, but is there anything that we could theoretically celebrate in one way or another about the Holocaust? So what did you say? Okay, but that's number two. And number three would be how. But what do you say? What are the elements that we want to commemorate or even celebrate about the Holocaust? What do you say?
Celebrate the end.
The end? The end. There could be a sense that we're commemorating the salvation. You know, there were people in Auschwitz and other places that were upset when the Americans came and liberated the camp. They were convinced it was going to be the Mashiach. I'm serious. Did you know that? Anyway, they weren't upset that they were being liberated. They were just, it was like a little bit of a letdown that they were kind of hoping that after all of this, that this would, they would see the Yeshua. Well, maybe they did, but in a very different way than they anticipated. Okay, so that's one way to look at it. That's one way to look at it. What's another? What else? What else? I mean, the obvious is like, the destruction, right? But the destruction is on many levels. There are individuals, there are communities, there are gedolim, there are yeshivas, there are shuls. You know, there are a lot of different components of the Churban itself. Jewish presence in Europe, in general. You know? Anything positive? Other than the end?
There's
a result of many Eretz Yisrael was probably a direct result of all of this. I don't know what would have happened otherwise. Who knows? You know. So maybe you should connect it to Yom HaAtzmaut. You know. Okay, so those are the three issues: when, what, and how. So originally the way that it was done was when Asar B'Teves. Why? Well, that has to do with the what. Because here's a big issue. Big, big issue. How do you contextualize the Holocaust? Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by contextualize it? How does it fit into Jewish history? This was not the first time that there's been a disaster in Klal Yisrael in Jewish history. Everybody knows about the Crusades. The Ukraine, the big war in the Ukraine. Isn't everybody talking about this? What about the Khmelnytsky uprising? What about Tach V'Tar? All these things that were these great disasters, so many Jews massacred in pogroms. That was in the Ukraine. Yeah? That was that terrible disaster. How many Jews were killed? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. 10,000? I don't remember the numbers. Crazy numbers. More than that? I don't know. But there's no day that anybody's aware. You're not aware of any days that commemorate the Crusades, or right? We certainly don't have them, not as Klal Yisrael. So, are we supposed to do that? Are we not supposed to do that? Why don't we have specific days for those? So, the Churban, to say that the Churban was unique in history. So the historians do this. They try to pinpoint what is unique about the Holocaust in terms of the massive numbers, in terms of what Hitler had in Yamach Shemo Bezecher, what he had conquered. And there are different ways that you could say that it wasn't just pogroms. It was concentration camps. It was death camps. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was an attempt to wipe out the Jews from the world as opposed to just kick them out of your city. I don't know. What about the Crusades? What was the Crusades? Anyway, so the point I'm trying to make is that in the context of history, this is part of Gullus. This is part of the exile from and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash that we're stuck in Gullus. And that's what the Torah says. The Torah says that we're going to be in Gullus and we're going to be driven around and we're going to remain a very small minority among the nation. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The Torah. That's what it said. So this is part and parcel of Gullus. So the historical context is that this is part of Churban Habayis. So the commemoration is the tremendous loss, and it ultimately the commemoration. If you really want to look at it that way, it's part of the suffering of Gullus. So why Asara B'Teves? I'm not sure. I don't know why that was chosen, but it's related to it because that's all part of the bigger picture of the Churban. How do you commemorate it? Do we say Tehillim? Do we dive into a Kaddish Baruch? Do we fast? So that was obviously part of that decision, right? Asara B'Teves is a fast day. It involves Tfilos as well. We say, what do we say? In Shul in the morning. In Shul in the morning, there's additional Tfilos to be said on a fast day, on Asara B'Teves. So there's additional Tfilos on Ninu. So there's fasting and there's Tfilos. So we understand what day was chosen. We understand what it's supposed to be about, what the meaning of the day is according to this. And then we understand how to commemorate it based on this. Okay, that was in 1949 on the Asara B'Teves. In 1950, again, you can Google this, Wikipedia. In 1950, I believe it was 1950. So the Knesset got involved. And I don't know the historical background to this, but they were not interested in following what had been done the previous year. So they decided to come up with a few of their own dates. When should we observe it? So the main date that was discussed, you'll never believe this, was the 14th of Nisan. Pesach. Erev Pesach. Why Erev Pesach? What a terrible day to remember. There's a lot to be done on Erev Pesach. No one here is female and has gone through preparations or cooking for Pesach. It's not a day to do other things. Nobody's going to an assembly that day. Do you know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no lectures. That is a day which is extremely busy. Why in the world would that be a day in the running for Yom HaShoah? So do you know the answer?
No. Mechorus.
What?
Mechorus.
Yeah, you might have think maybe it's related to that. But it's not. It's because that was the day, April 19th, 1943. April 19th, 1943 was Yud Dalet Nisan. What happened on April 19th, 1943?
D-Day.
The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Yeah? The Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was Yud Dalet Nisan, 1943. I don't know. We should research the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Obviously, that uprising was a big machlokes. A big machlokes. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. What's more important, you know, so to speak, to stand up for yourself at great risk of everybody else? I don't really want to think so much. I just want to spell out the issue that unfortunately, this was a big issue. Forget the Warsaw Ghetto for a minute. People that were in the camps, there were people that decided that they were going to rebel against the Nazis. And what happened as a result?
Papal
to just them?
No.
There were a lot more people that suffered because of that. Oh, maybe they would have died anyway. Maybe we're all going to die anyway. What's the difference? Okay, but just keep in mind that when you do something like that, then you're making a decision that may impact a lot more than just you. Which, of course, was the Nazis' intention. Because that's the best way to control people, is that if you do it, then everybody else is going to suffer. And then now there's a tremendous pressure. Right? That was obviously part of the psychological pressure. But it's a fact, which means that makes that decision a lot more complicated. So a Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, first of all, the chances of it being successful are what?
Very slim.
There were Makabim. There were Makabim. There is a somewhat of a precedent. Yeah. They really were able to defeat this tremendous Greek military. I mean, there is precedent, is that true? But obviously, you would need Matisyahu and the Jewish people behind you. Leich Knosis Kol Yehudim Etzumu Alai. Like Esther says, go get the Jews together and start a big fast day. So anyway, it was a big machlekes if this was a good idea or a terrible idea. We all know that it was not successful, and it just resulted in a lot of tragedy. But nonetheless, to the secular government in Israel, to the Knesset, that was something to celebrate, because it's part of this perspective that some have of like a never again. Never again is a very complicated topic, because on the one hand, yes, why should Jews, chas v'shalom, ever go like sheep to the slaughter? We should stand up for ourselves. We should fight back. And of course, that's true. Of course, that's true. The issue is that, can you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, never again? We can say we will do everything in our power that it shouldn't happen again, which involves being religious Jews, which involves keeping the Torah. And sometimes it involves fighting back. We have, we have the two holidays, Rabbanan, are Purim and Hanukkah. Purim was fasting and prayer. Eventually, we fought. And Hanukkah, you don't see the fasting and the prayer. What you see is the fighting. So you have two models. You have to know when to apply each one. Anyway, so to make a long story short, the Knesset decided on the when, the why, and the how. The when, they decided, should be connected to the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Someone must have mentioned in deliberations in the Knesset, I think that I'm going to be cooking a lot that day. Maybe it's not the best day. So they decided, okay, so it'll be a week after the end of Pesach. That gives everyone enough time. So in other words, it really was, if you look online, you will see that a discrepancy. That'll tell you that the reason why Yom HaShoah is today is because it commemorates the date of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And then you'll look at the date of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising and you'll be like, it was April 19th or Yud Aleph Nisan. Neither one of them is today. I don't get it. What's going on over here? And then if you read more into it, you'll see, because it just wasn't practical. So they pushed it off until a date that made sense. This is a little bit typical of the Israeli government, no? Let's make Yom HaTzmud on Hey Ear. Yeah, but it's too close to Shabbos. Okay, it's on Sunday. No, it's maybe it'll be on Monday. All right, let's take a vote. All in favor, Monday it is. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's kind of the way it goes. So here too. So it was a week after Pesach. That's how it goes. A week after Pesach is Yom HaShoah, but it's really based on Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Okay, so that's the when. Why? What are we commemorating? So obviously we're commemorating, everything that was terrible. But in addition, the Knesset thought that it should commemorate the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, which is specifically why it was on this day. Ha! This is perhaps the most upsetting part of all of it. How is Yom HaShoah commemorated?
Moment of silence.
Moment of silence. What is the source for a moment of silence? Death! Death is the... You know what I'm saying? Where do you have a moment of... We don't have moments of silence. We have moments of tefillah. We're not silent. Now you'll say, no, the purpose of the silence is to think about it, is to internalize it. Okay. But I'm saying this is not... I don't know where it comes from. It's not... There's no makor in Torah for moments of silence. Yeah, we give drushes. We speak about it. We inspire people and we daven. And we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam, and maybe we fast. So you see the discrepancy? That's what my point is. You see the discrepancy in the when, the what, and the how. It happens to be, by the way, that today's Aliyah, I don't know if you guys saw today's Aliyah, and Acher Mois, is B'chuk Oseyam Lo Se Leicho. Don't follow the things that the Goyim do. Don't follow things that the Goyim do. So this is why it's such an issue. It's such an issue because it's like contrary to a lot of things. The original approach of the Rabbanim was that it should be Asara B'Teves. By the way, let's finish the topic. So when do we do it nowadays if it's not on Asara B'Teves? Did the religious Jews decide that, okay, so they forget about it? We don't want to have Yom HaShoah because of what the government did? Do we do it on that day? What happened? Do you know what happened? What happened was it became Tisha B'Av.
What?
Yom HaShoah is Tisha B'Av. What am I talking about? Moment of silence. Yeah, Tisha B'Av became the integration of Yom HaShoah and everything else, because that's the context of everything. That's where it belongs. Again, why is Sarabat Tevi? He says, what's Tisha B'Av the first year? I'm not sure. But Tisha B'Av became the day that it became Kamer. What am I talking about? How do I know that? You guys know what I'm talking about? On Tisha B'Av, we say Kinos. Exactly. We say loads and loads of Kinos. So the Kinos begin talking about the Churban HaBayis. Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni.
What's Kinos?
What do you call Kinos in English? Lamentation? So that's part of my point. I guess I'll spell it a little clearer in a second. But let me just explain. So that on Tisha B'Av, the Kinos that we say begin with the Churban HaBayis, both Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, and then we get involved in the Crusades. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody, you hear them every year, no? So the Kinos get involved with other things that happened throughout all of history that were part of that historical context, that were part of that destruction. Yeah? And then we get involved in Eretz Yisrael, in all kinds of Kinos that have to do with even looking forward to being in Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda Halevi. And then we get involved with two. There were two Kinos that were written. Does anybody know who wrote them? The two Kinos that were the article has them at the end. No, it was a little earlier than that. The Kinos for the Holocaust. So there was one written by Rav Shimon Schwab, who lived a couple blocks away. He was the Rav of the Breuer's community. So he has one that's written over there. And there's another one by the Bubba Rebbe. Rav Halberstam, the Bubba Rebbe. Bubba was a town. I don't know exactly where it was, but Bubba was a town in Europe. So the Bubba Rebbe of Rav Halberstam. And those are included in the end of the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. So that makes sense. That makes sense. It's recognizing it, but it's putting it in its proper historical context. So when Tisha B'Av, why? What's the meaning of it? It's part of the Churban. It's part of Galus. It's part of where we're holding. Take a look at the Torah when it talks about the Tochacha. What's going to happen if you don't do mitzvahs and you get exiled? That's what it says. What do? We fast. We say Kinos. We cry. The problem is we never have an opportunity to talk about Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av is in the summertime. I'm just going to throw out an idea because of that. I have a kasha in Tisha B'Av. Am I allowed to have kashas in Tisha B'Av?
On
Tisha B'Av. I have kashas in Tisha B'Av. I have one major kasha in Tisha B'Av. If you could compare Tisha B'Av to any other day in the Jewish calendar, which one would it be? What's it most similar to?
Yom Kippur.
Why not? That's how it's different. But what do they share in common?
Fast, long dying.
It's more than that. It's that what else other than fasting don't we do?
All the things
that we don't do on Tisha B'Av, we don't do on Yom Kippur, right? The five inuyim are applicable on Tisha B'Av just like on Yom Kippur. Is that what we do on Asarah B'Teves? No, only Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. So if you have to compare it to any other, you're right. There's a huge difference between the two, and that's my point. But they, on the surface, they look like they're the same. What's this? What's the fundamental difference? You're right. There's a certain simcha of Yom Kippur, but why? Because why? But why? 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 Why is Yom Kippur a happy day?
Because you're being judged.
It's like the beginning.
Because you're being judged?
You're done.
Woohoo! How do you become a new person on Yom Kippur? There's one key word here. You guys just got to say it. What's the key word? Tshuva. Tshuva. I have one kasha on Tisha B'Av. What's my kasha? We don't do tshuva. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Isn't that a kasha? You don't think it's a kasha? You think it's kasha? Kasha? Hey, it's kasha? You're my kasha? What's my kasha?
I got lost when you said
there's no tshuva on Tisha B'Av.
What do you mean?
We cry and we say kinos and lamentations, but we don't go, Alchei Chichatan Olam, everybody Shalom, we're so sorry, rebuild Beis HaMikdash. Strange thing. Did you ever notice that? You ever think about it?
No, never noticed.
Crazy, no? Isn't that crazy?
Pretty nuts.
I think we should start a revolution here. Start doing tshuva and Tisha B'Av.
Every day, what do you mean?
Oh, every day. Oh, very good. Tzadik. Now, so there's an answer to this, yeah? The answer is that famous Gemara that everybody knows. The Meraglim. What did the Meraglim have to do with Tisha B'Av again?
Meraglim?
Yeah. What's the connection between Meraglim and Tisha B'Av?
The destruction of the Beis.
Yeah, what's the connection? Right, because they came back and they said
it's
not going to work. It's not a good place. We can't conquer it. It's hopeless. We're stuck in the Midbar. And everyone started to believe them. And what did everyone do?
Oh, they started
fasting. No, that they didn't do. That they didn't do. They didn't start fasting. What did they start to do? They started to do something. Not yet. No. That was actually early. What?
They wanted to go back. So.
Yes, they said, let's go back. And they all sat down and
cried.
Thank you! They all sat down and cried. It says in the Torah that they all started to cry. Well, you see from that that spies in and of themselves are not the problem. In fact, Yehoshua did it again later. Yeah. So spies in and of themselves is not the issue. The issue is that if you're going to spy out the land practically to figure out how to best conquer it, that's called hishtablus. But if you're going to do it because you want to check out the land, is it good, is it bad, is it good, a bad idea, maybe we shouldn't do it. Maybe, you know.
Well, they said the reason is that they punish the reason is that they didn't
have a choice. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't want to dismiss your question. I think it's a good question. But my point for now is that everyone started to cry. And what did Chazal say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you cried. And it was Tisha B'Av. That was the day of the year. That was Tisha B'Av. Yeah, that was Tisha B'Av. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you cried for no reason.
I'll give you a reason.
So Chazal say, this will be a day of crying. This will be a day of crying. Yeah? Now, usually people say it like that, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. That's not how God works. That's how God works. So I'm going to share with you a thought. I hope you can remember this by Tisha B'Av. Yeah? You'll remember this for Tisha B'Av?
Yeah.
You remember this Tisha B'Av? File this in your Tisha B'Av cabinet. You have a Tisha B'Av cabinet? It's a temporary cabinet. It's not a permanent cabinet. Yeah? The Tisha B'Av file cabinet is a paper one. Because hopefully we won't be needing it much longer. But it is a file cabinet you should have. So here's the idea. What? Yeah. But here's the idea that you should remember. The Maharal basically says that when Klal Yisrael cried because they couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, they weren't going to go and they cried. So it meant that it's not where we belong. It's not for us. They reached into their hearts and ripped Eretz Yisrael out of their hearts. And they're like, it's not who we are. It's not part of us. It's not where we're going. It's not where we belong. And if you have, let's say that you have a kid. I know none of you do, but you were all children. You know, let's say that you have a kid. You want to give him a very special gift. And you see that like he's just not ready for it. Yeah? So you give it to him because you're hoping he is, but then he doesn't use it appropriately. He may even break it. What do you do? With the thing that you just gave him that you're afraid he's going to break. Take it away. But he said, I want it back. What are you telling
him? When you're old enough.
When you're old enough and you're ready for it and you can relate to it properly, I'll give it back to you. How's he going to prove it? So, you know, there has to be some way to prove it, right? So the Maharal says that when a Kaddish Baruch, you ready for this? Get ready for this.
Yeah.
When a Kaddish Baruch says, you cried, I will make this a day of crying, it has to mean that the crying fixes the problem. Are you with me? It has to mean you cried now, you messed it up with tears, you're going to fix it with tears. Means you cried because it's not part of you, now you need to cry so much that it becomes a part of you. I want it. If you cry enough that you really want it, then it'll become part of you again. Because the tears show how much you want it. You can't live without it.
That's why we fast.
That's why we cry on Tisha B'Av. That's my answer. That's why Tisha B'Av is not a day for Teshuva. It's a day for tears. Thank you. It's a day for tears. Nowadays? Sort of. A little bit. Some of it. Maybe even most.
It's a left side government.
Maybe even most of it.
You excited for the poppers?
Yeah. Anyway, so let me just wrap it up. So that became Yom HaShoah, is Tisha B'Av, because that's the day when we try to end all of this. How do we try to end all of this? There has to be tshuva, but it's not designated for Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day that's designated for the tears to show and prove and enable us to get it all back. I think that's a very powerful message that everyone needs to remember.
Why do you need to cry? Why can't you?
So how did I answer that question? How did I answer? Which meant what? And what did that mean, those tears? Their tears did what? Right? That's exactly what it is. Whatever you do, it you do what you can, you know. It's part of the 9 days, so we don't listen to music. Yeah, it's for sure that day, obviously, for sure not, but it includes, like, you know, more than that. The 3 weeks. Part of the 3 weeks. Right. It's Avelos. It's literally Avelos, which is fascinating. Yom Kippur is not supposed to be Avelos. That's a big difference also. They look the same on the surface. You dig deeper and they're total opposites. Yom Kippur, the reason that we don't wear shoes and all these things is because we're like malachim. We're like angels. On Tisha B'Av, it's Avelos. It's Avelos. It's not covering.
What if Tisha B'Av falls on Saturday?
Tisha B'Av, this year it's going to be Shabbos. It's pushed off till Sunday.
Okay.
Wait, they push it off?
Yeah, later, never earlier. What? The Kuvian Shabbos?
Yeah.
Asara B'Teve. Oh, Yom Kippur, for sure.
They push off
Yom Kippur, for sure.
Why not?
No, they don't push off on
Yeah, if it falls on Friday, they push it off.
No, Yom Kippur never gets pushed off. It's the Raisa, you know, it doesn't get pushed off.
What is Tisha B'Av?
I don't believe it can. It can't fall on a Friday.
That's what I'm saying.
But if it did,
they would push it off.
No,
they would. Why would
they push off the whole Rosh Chodesh? Maybe they would push off Rosh Chodesh.
Which would change.
Yeah, but not directly. No, it's a difference. It's a big difference. In other words, Tisha B'Av is going to be on Shabbos. But the observance
is like Thursday, Friday?
Push off till Sunday. You can't do that. You can't push off the observance.
That's a good question.
You can change the calendar.
If Yom Kippur is on Friday, the day of Yom Kippur, how are you supposed to prepare?
Yeah, it would be a big problem.
Exactly. So you push it off. You just do it on.
You can't push off the observance. You'd have to push off Rosh Chodesh. You'd have to make an extra day of Rosh Chodesh.
That's a good question. Like Thursday night, Friday.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It's very, it's likely that year the Sanhedrin would decide we have to have an extra day of Rosh Chodesh that would get pushed off. But,
bruh, see,
the
Jews always find
the that's what the Torah says. HaChodesh is Elachem, Rosh Chodesh, Elachem. You get to decide. We spoke about this.
And Torah.
Anywho, what's the bottom line? What should we all leave here with? What we should leave here with is an understanding that there is a machlokas about Yom HaShoah. It is a substantial machlokas. It's not just, you know, a political thing or whatever. It has substance to it. It's important to understand the tzadim over here, where each side is coming from. And then at the end of the day, Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. We all have to have kavod for each other, and whatever anyone is going to do, it has to be with a recognition that we are all Kalal Yisrael. Yes. And then in this time of year, when unfortunately it is a time of machlokes and lack of kavod, and you can touch your scraggly face, those of you that have a scraggly face, you can, what? You know, your scruffy. Who's scruffy looking? What?